Welcome to The Ordinary Knitter, the knitting podcast that's mostly about the projects. Find it on iTunes through your podcast app or subscribe via the feed link on the website. This week, it's all about the Cavies, plus other project progress and yarn needs. Christmas is coming and the last minute project explosion is in full swing. Just a reminder that I've marked lots of my stash for sale or swap on Ravelry, so please do get in touch if there's anything you're interested in. Hello and welcome to episode 58. My name is Heather. You can find me on Instagram at The Ordinary Knitter, on Twitter as @TheOrdKnitter, and on Ravelry at Ordinary Knitting. As always, I hope you've had a good week on the needles. I was making steady progress with Christmas presents when guinea pigs suddenly happened. This is all thanks to Let's Knit magazine, and it's all gone a bit cuteness overload from there. If you see my Twitter or Instagram posts, you can't fail to have noticed the endless guinea pig pictures since Monday. This is because my son's friend has a birthday coming up. I was just skimming through Instagram, as you do, looking at everyone else's projects, and I noticed a very cute knitted guinea pig that someone had made, and they commented that it was from a free Let's Knit magazine pattern. And at the time, I didn't really think anything more of it beyond thinking, oh, I'm not particularly a guinea pig person, although half sort of seriously reconsidering that position now. But other than thinking, oh, that's quite cute, that turned out really well, I didn't really think anything more of it. Until the penny suddenly dropped that my son's friend, whose 9th birthday party is today, keeps guinea pigs, and I hadn't organised a present for her yet. It had gone through my mind, and although I heartily disapprove of stuffing children full of sweets at the same time, you know, as an absolute fallback position, I would take that if it got to the stage that I hadn't got anything for her. It's better that than nothing, and her mum can always ration them. But I had thought, oh, I must get something proper sorted out, but I just hadn't got that far. So this suddenly seemed the obvious thing to do, especially as this pattern has Stashbuster written all over it. I'll include the download link in the show notes. To download it, you need to register with Let's Knit magazine. Normally, I'm hawkishly careful about giving away my data. It's something I feel very strongly about, and I won't just sign up for this, that or the other. But on this occasion, it was more than worth it. And they can have my blood type and my maternity notes too, if they like, because this was just, it's just such a great pattern. It's more than worth it. I used white, grey and brown DK stash that I already had. Yes, these are acrylic, but I'm on medication for the recent flare-up that I've had, and I can at least handle acrylic for short periods without gloves now, although I still wouldn't want to wear it. So I wasn't going to start making a big point about going and buying lovely cotton yarns to do this. These are fine to make up in acrylic stash. So I used the brown that I bought recently for the fox bauble that I was going to do that all rather crashed and burnt. The white I have anyway, I always have white DK because it's brilliant as the base for a bauble, especially because I knit my baubles onto white polystyrene balls. So the white DK is absolutely perfect as the base because then the white polystyrene doesn't show up too glaringly, and the grey is part of the massive amount of grey DK that I bought from Aldi last year and that I've used to knit ivy and that I had intended to make a cardigan from, but of course all that has now changed with my issues with acrylic. So those are the bits of stash that I used for these. I bought studs for the eyes because this little girl is old enough. She's going to be 9. It's not an issue. If I'd been making these for a much younger child, you know, a sort of a 3-year-old, I probably just would have ended up embroidering eyes on. That's one of those things you just have to make a judgment on, really, depending who it's for. But I'm really glad that I bought these studs because they, rather than just using beads, because they look really good. You clip them in and you sort of put a back on. It's a bit like using a giant earring, and they're really effective. And it was £1.20 for 7 or 8 pairs, I think, from my local yarn shop. So they were a good little find. So the body is a pretty straightforward knit. You start at the rear end and you knit that first coloured section. Then you move on to go up the body in white. And then when you get to the head area, you knit the 2 coloured patches with Intarsia Bobbins, who is my alter ego. The shaping from the top of the back to the tip of the nose is, I think, what makes this pattern, because it's just so convincing. Now, I don't know a lot about guinea pig anatomy, and this really became apparent when I was doing the making up. When I was about 8, I had a guinea pig for about 3 days. We got one to keep our rabbit company, but the rabbit bullied it so badly that we just had to give the poor thing away. So I really know very, very little about guinea pigs, and when I was trying to put on the feet and so on, I was scrutinising the pictures in the pattern, which were not a schematic. They were just there as a sort of cute picture of a knitted guinea pig. And I was sort of trying to work out exactly where the feet and things were going, because this stuff is not instinctive to me. I don't think I've ever even handled a guinea pig. But once it has been made up, the guinea pig just basically springs to life when you look at them. And it's just all down to really excellent pattern writing. There is a fair bit of making up. This is, to be honest, what usually puts me off making toys. And it can be a bit frustrating, as I say, where you have to sort of keep repositioning things because you think, no, that's not right, it's just not convincing. It doesn't look like it could get up and hop away if it wanted to. But I got there in the end. Stuffing guinea pig legs is a fiddly job, but it's all over quickly. So depending when your evening starts and finishes, you could make one of these in an evening. I'd say if you don't have young children, if you can basically sit down after your evening meal and sit down for sort of 3 hours, you could comfortably get one made. You make a body piece, you make the four legs, and you make the two ears. The four legs all need to be seamed up and stuffed. The ears, you slightly fold over the top and sort of fix that down, and then you stitch them on. Obviously you stuff them, you put the eyes on, and then if you've got pink DK, you embroider them a little nose. So if you set your mind to it, you could comfortably get it done in an evening. Because of the way I chose to do the eyes using these studs, I had to put them on before I stuffed, because I wouldn't be able to get in there afterwards. But if you're just using a bead or embroidery, obviously that can go on afterwards. So as I just alluded to, my guinea pigs are lacking a nose because I don't have any pink DK. I saw my mum last night and I meant to ask her if she had some so I could just quickly have stuck a nose on this morning, but I forgot. And quite honestly, it's one of those things, I think, unless someone pointed it out to you, I'm not sure you'd even notice. But I'm clearly going to have to get some pink DK now, because I have a request list for at least 5 guinea pigs. And I feel that list's going to grow. And everyone who's seen them has just loved them. So thank you, Let's Knit magazine, and Nikki Fialkowska, who designed them, for a great knit and a brilliant present, but also for smashing an enormous hole in my Christmas knitting progress. And of course, you can't let your guinea pigs go hungry, so I had to knit them some lettuce. I have a book called Knitted Fast Food by Susie Johns, and I had 2 copies at one point, but I must have given one away. Now, I use this book once in a blue moon, which is another reason not to have 2 copies, but it was worth its weight in gold yesterday evening. I knitted the lettuce element of the burger pattern. This took about an hour or so in front of a very cosy fire with snow falling outside, so that was all very perfect. Knitted food is another stash buster, and it's something I can include more of with future guinea pigs with a little bit of planning. I was going to say more planning, but that implies there was some in the first place, and I wouldn't want to mislead you. So until I started on my KV Odyssey, I was making steady progress with my son's hot water bottle cover. So I've just realised he's around, but I think he's busy. I put a picture of that on Instagram. You can see from that I positioned his name slightly too far to one side. Sorry, you might have to whack the volume up on this bit. I'm getting paranoid now. It was only 2 to 3 stitches too far round to one side, but you have very distinct sides on a hot water bottle because of the structure of it. So this means that when you look on one side, you can just see the serifs of the capital M of his name peeking round from the other side. It's classic me to do that sort of thing. I count so carefully and I think I've got it all sorted, and then I do it and I've just slightly bodged it, but I don't think he'll be too bothered. So I'm making good progress, but as I'm using 4mm needles and Aran yarn to get a close texture to protect him from the heat of the bottle, it's taking that little wee while. I'm now heading up towards the shoulders of the bottle, and I'll need to plan carefully for that shaping. I'm not really using a pattern as such, but I am following the principle of one that I printed out, and I'm suiting the shaping principles in that to my materials and the size of the actual bottle. I'm actually really, really pleased with the shaping so far. It's a nice close fit, and that's I started a second time because I realised after about 8 rounds that it was just too big, and even allowing for filling the bottle with water, it was just too big and I didn't like it. It was a bad fit. I like the lettering that I've used for his name. I ummed and ahed about how best to do the lettering. I wondered at first about just racing through knitting the actual cover itself, so I sort of got that done, and then have another go at duplicate stitch, but to be honest, I made such a hash of it on that bauble recently when I tried to embroider on the sort of foxy face that I'd rather have a bit of a practice before seriously considering using it again, and I just don't have time for that at the moment. Then I wondered about just doing a capital M a la the Weasley sweaters, but it seemed a bit mean just to do that. Initially, I charted my own letters, but they just weren't coming out how I wanted. So it was all getting a bit unsatisfactory, and in a moment of pique, I sort of ripped out and then sort of wished I hadn't and managed to stop myself before I'd gone too far. So I pulled out where I'd sort of cocked up the lettering, but not very far below that, so I was able to pick up the stitches and carry on, and it was just, I had to accept, it was just time to trawl around for a while on the web and find something that was done by someone who has a lot more expertise than me, and I found something that was just the right size and a good clear font, and I found that via the Chemnitz website. This has an amazing list, it's quite a brilliant site anyway, but as well as many other things, it has this brilliant list of online alphabet charts. So I investigated a few. Quite a lot of them are quite small, although that's it's not unreasonable, I suppose, given the size of project that you might be knitting. But the one that I found was just perfect for the number of stitches I'm using, and I'm really pleased with the overall effect. It's the Times Roman Alphabet, 14 stitches tall, which is at yarntree.com, and that's got upper and lower case. This is now my priority project, because what I need to do by the time I finish it is I then need to make a judgment based on how long it's all taken as to whether I'll have time to make one for my daughter as well. Hers is going to have a far less fancy design on it, and it's one that I could do in duplicate stitch, even for allowing for the fact that I'm pretty terrible at it, because it's just an outline of a geometric shape and it's just going to be a single thickness of line at any one point. So I maybe stand more chance of doing it properly. It's a lot less hassle than stitching in a whole name and thickened letters and so on. The trouble I have now is that because of changes in how I'm spending my working day, I don't have the knitting time in the afternoons that I used to have. I used to have to get to school quite early in order to get parked, and I might have anything up to half an hour sitting waiting at school, and this was incredibly valuable knitting time, as you can imagine. But I don't have that anymore, and added to that, my daughter's nearly 16. She's often downstairs with us during the evening, so I can't really knit anything secret for her, if there's anything about it that suggests that it's for her. But then, as the design's going on afterwards, I could just knit it plain, and if she shows any interest, tell a complete whopper that it's for someone else, and then do the actual design at some stage when she's not around, which I think is feasible, we'll have to see. But I'm also going to have to buy yarn to make her cover. I nipped into my local yarn shop a couple of weeks ago looking for cotton Aran, but no joy. It's a summer thing for them, which is fair enough. But I'm going into Hereford today, so I'll look then. But really, I think the only place I'm likely to go that would have anything would be Tiger, and that's probably going to end up being acrylic or part acrylic anyway. So I'm expecting probably this evening I'll end up ordering something plus a pink DK for future guinea pig noses. I think, although I can use acrylic sort of where I absolutely have to, you know, my life depends on it, I don't want to start another relatively big project in acrylic, and I certainly don't want to buy any more, and I just don't have black Aran. So my stash isn't shrinking quite as I'd expected, but then, quite honestly, do they ever? My last project on the go at the moment is the Chunky Ribbed Stripes Hat by Kate Duncan. This is a free Ravelry download. It's a man's hat knitted in a chunky yarn. I have a wool acrylic chunky mix, which I bought from Aldi last winter, and I'm quite getting through that quite well on this project. I started off with a skein I'd already used a bit of for something else, I can't remember what, and I finished that, and these skeins, when I bought them, they came in two packs, and I'm already well through the next skein. But this second skein is one of those. It's a bit annoying. It's like something's catching deep within the skein, and the yarn isn't pulling out smoothly. I keep having to go in and investigate, but I don't seem to be able to get to the root of the problem. But never mind, apart from skein woes, this is a lovely, simple pattern. You do an initial, quite deep rib section, and this is designed to be folded back on itself if you want to, that's why it's so deep. You knit alternate four round sections of stocking stitch and rib, with each rib section slightly offset from the previous by alternately starting it in purl or knit. And it's such a simple pattern that when I took my knitting off to what I knew would be a long wait at the doctor's during the week, and then found that I hadn't got my pattern printed out in my knitting bag, so annoying, I find, one of my major pet peeves, and it's just down to disorganisation on my part. And there's no signal at the doctor's, so I couldn't go and find the pattern on our servers and download it from there. So I just had to work out where I was and go from memory, and it was absolutely fine. So it's a really, and because it's chunky and it's in fairly big needles, it just flies along. And I'm now on the decrease rounds. They're going at high speed, and this hat will be done in no time. So having said that the hot water bottle cover is my priority project, this is so close to completion, it would be daft, it wouldn't make any sense to put it off, especially because my husband and I are working outside quite a lot at the moment. He hasn't got any hair and it's snowing. So I think it would be a generous gesture on my part just to get it finished and just hand that over. I didn't really ever intend this to be a Christmas present. It's a practical item, so I think he can probably have that in the next couple of days. That's nearly me for this week. I have no podcasting schedule at the moment. It's completely freestyle when I have an opportunity and when my head becomes so full of knitting chat that I'm just going to explode if I don't pod. I went to our Christmas knit and natter during this week. I was particularly impressed by Alison, who was knitting with a broken arm. Admittedly, I think it was about a month ago that she did it, and it's not her handedness hand, if you know what I mean, but she's still in a cast, so I thought that was pretty good. That's dedication. And just before I go, did anyone spot the barbel hat on the Digging for Britain episode about the north of England? 'Tis the time of year to spot find hand knits in the wild. Keep warm. I hope there's lots of lovely snow where you are, and I hope to be back before Christmas. Bye.